Former Disney and current Spider-Man star Zendaya is in a new film, Challengers, where the preview showcases the complexities of beginning a polyamorous relationship as she travels down the well-beaten path of Disney star to seductive siren, while we take a look at her show Euphoria and how they use high school storylines to glorify destruction and blaspheme God. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News. Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we are going to be looking at Zendaya, another Disney star that has seemingly fallen down that beaten path by a number of different performers before her who have gone from being these girls in TV shows or even some guys as well, all the way down the path of now being a seductive siren, even leading to blasphemous tirades against God and arguments made against his nature. But before we get into that, so we can really dive into it and answer these questions that are brought up against the knowledge of God, we want to ask you guys, if you feel so led, to subscribe to Good Fight Ministries, the YouTube channel here, so that you guys can always get the notifications if you ring that bell, so that you know what is coming up and what videos we might be coming out with, as well as, if you feel so led, leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts, so that simply we can get up those charts and more people can hear the message. Because the goal here today, as we dig into this topic or any other, is to simply take the things that are going on in the world and say, how do we bring anything brought up against the knowledge of God, any argument, and take it captive to the obedience of Christ? That is the point at 5:11 News, to expose the works of darkness. And guys, that's what we're going to be doing here today. Because when we look at Disney as a whole, but not just Disney, when we look at just the entertainment industry and the fact that Ephesians 2 verse 2 tells us that Satan works through the sons of disobedience. It tells us that we shouldn't be unequally yoked with non-believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14. It also tells us in God's word so clearly that we need to meditate on God's word day and night and be like the tree planted against the water that bears fruit in its season, and everything he does is he prospers, instead of being the ones and just hanging out with and sitting around and meditating on the things of God mockers, God haters, and honestly being entertained by the very things that nailed Jesus to a cross. Those sins that people are calling entertainment are the very sins that were nailed to a cross in Jesus, that we have forgiveness for our sins because Jesus was nailed to a cross. And so as I get into this, guys, this is a tough topic to discuss. There are going to be some blasphemous things said here that we want to try to look through these arguments because some people do make them. And rather than simply having somebody, maybe a young believer or may not be a believer at all, first hear these arguments and no one answer them, let us have some answers, some good answers for questions that people might have. And we'll use this showcase of blasphemy in order for us to say, let's bring that captive. So without any further ado, we're going to be looking at somewhat of a timeline here of a few different Disney stars and to see how Satan has used them, children of disobedience, to the course of this world to continue to push people away from God and into licentiousness. And so when we look at even Demi Lovato, the former Disney star who went and not only was she going and thinking she's talking to aliens and singing to them, then calling herself they, them, instead of a her, which she actually is, and then now is, I guess, apparently tired of being called they, them, because it's very exhausting that she doesn't want to be called they, them anymore. But it's all over the place. But just the normalization of this wicked behavior away from how God has created us male and female, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, as the word of God has said from the beginning in Genesis. And so we see that. And then also somebody that stuck out to me, and I'm sure for a lot of people, was Hannah Montana, or better known as Miley Cyrus. And when we look at Miley Cyrus, you see the downfall of what was going on in Hannah Montana. And then you find out, and sadly enough, her parents pushing her towards this. And you see even her siblings and some of their behavior as well. The downfall of Miley Cyrus was pretty sad. And what was only worse than her downfall and where she has gone and a lot of the misery and just seeing the destruction there was to see when people would talk to her, including Joe Rogan, and we actually played this clip in a previous episode, when they would talk to her, it would be like, no, embrace the demons, because if you embrace those demons, we'll get some great art from you.
It's one of the things I like about weed.
That's the mask.
I like to get scared.
You like to get scared?
Oh, yeah. I like to see the devil. That's my friend Joey Diaz says it.
I don't like that anymore.
I like to see the devil.
I do not like that anymore.
I like to be paranoid. I like to freak out. You need to purge the demons. Yeah. You got demons.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in there 100%. Yeah. But again, like, you don't want to, you got to hold on to them a little bit.
I know. I like to use them to my advantage.
In music, man, there's something about the demons that come out in the music. Look, that's always why. The great artist, like, think about Robert Johnson, right? They even thought he sold his soul to learn how to play blues the way he did. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's because of there's the f-ing life experience came out in his music.
Yeah.
And then even if they're not Disney stars, but major stars who have come in contact with darkness, with evil forces, and have even called out and said, I need help with this. Think about Lady Gaga reaching out to none other than Deepak Chopra, the guru, and saying, I have this dark force, this demon, this devil that is coming after me. And what is the advice that Deepak gives her? Well, I guess it's to embrace the darkness.
I had this dream quite recently that was so terrifying, so morbid and terrifying. And I called Deepak Chopra, who I work with, and I was telling him my dream. Terrified that the devil, and the dream was so terrifying, I thought somehow a devil force was trying to take hold of me, a darkness. Mm. I guess I see devil and darkness as the same thing. And he left and told me that I was very creative.
And that's what it represents.
Learn to embrace my insanity.
And then when you see her embrace this darkness, you see with Lady Gaga singing songs about, I don't know, Judas, saying that he's the demon that she clings to. I mean, this is the kind of stuff. And sadly enough, for so many people, you have these demons on full display, people being used by demonic entities on full display. And guess what? Everyone's like, well, we'll just use it as entertainment. Sadly enough, people have been warned about this by other actors. In fact, you can hear Jack Nicholson actually talk right here, actually coming out and finding out, it looks like he has just found out, or at least being reported to, maybe he had found out earlier, but he comes out and is asked about, did you hear about Heath Ledger? He passed away. And look at his reaction.
Jack, any comments on Heath Ledger's death?
About what?
Heath Ledger, he actually died tonight in New York.
Overdose. He died in New York.
I warned him about what? Playing the role of Joker. And when we even look at some of the things Heath Ledger talked about before he died playing that role, he talked about playing this psychopath and how it was hard to sleep and get out of the character and so forth. And you have Jack Nicholson warning him, I warned you. Exactly what he warned him about, we don't know. He later did an interview trying to claim he warned him about Ambien, but doesn't seem like that is the warning that he's referring to there when he's just simply talking candidly. But nonetheless, we see this, and so many people, sadly enough, watch this and are entertained by these very demonic entities who are using those who are willing to be used to push forth philosophy, teaching, and ideology that is abhorrent to God. Ideology and teaching and things that are destructive against you. The fact is that God is our creator. And when he gives us laws, they are for our good. They are not for our bad. God is the one who created us. And so when people go against what God's word has clearly declared, his design, whether it's for the marriage bed, his design for you as a created person by God, all of these things, when we go against them, we're going against the creator. It would be similar to me saying, well, this is a laptop. It has the information I need on there. But I think I should just pour Coca-Cola onto the keyboard here and everything's going to be fine. No, you are going to wreck it. You are going to ruin it. And it is going to be destructive. And so what we see is Satan using Disney stars or otherwise to push forth a bunch of just abhorrent and disgusting teachings. And sadly enough, you see the death rate of young people who are ending their lives. You see the death rate of young people who are choosing to end their lives because of social media influences, because of, honestly, I think sometimes it's just being more popular and infamous, this idea of it. It is so heartbreaking. And then we see shows and movies that push things that are so against the word of God, and it's meditated on day and night by people. And recently, one of the stars, and that's the one we're going to be talking about today, former Disney star Zendaya. She has also been the star of The Greatest Showman, a star in the movie Spider-Man with her boyfriend Tom Holland. And she has recently come out, and a trailer for the movie Challengers has come out. And sadly enough, it looks like they're pushing, at least at the beginning of it, a polyamorous relationship. Now, it is hard to even picture. There's only so many things we can even show from it because of the seductive nature of it. It would just be far too much. But you see this kind of just pushing the envelope over and over again. And you see they use these stars who, guess what? Little kids watch their shows, they watch their movies, and they're excited about them. And then next thing you know, they're pushing some really disgusting things. But before this movie Challengers come out, Zendaya has been a part of a series on HBO, which is gratuitous, disgusting. And I got to be honest with you, I saw this video. And before I even read the bio of the show, I want you to see Zendaya's reaction to hearing that a young child is asking a question about transitioning over to this role that she's in the HBO show Euphoria.
Zendaya, what was it like going from Disney onto this?
Please tell me you were not in here for this. Oh my God. Oh.
Your parents are responsible. Okay. Woo! It's a big jump. It's very different. It's nerve-wracking.
Now, why is she uncomfortable? Well, let's get a little bit into what Euphoria is all about. Euphoria follows teenagers in the fictional town of East Highland, California, who seek hope while balancing the strains of love, loss, and addiction. Topics such as child abuse, drug abuse, toxic relationships, toxic positivity, hookup culture, social media, mental illness, codependency, infidelity, relapsing, repressed homosexuality, sobriety, human trafficking, domestic violence, rape, sexual assault, toxic masculinity, drug dealing, dating violence, and grief are all explored. Guys, I'm going to give you just somewhat of an overview before I read what Common Sense Media has put out concerning some of the concerns of the show, because this show, where Zendaya is the narrator, Zendaya is the star, she plays Rue Bennett, who is a drug addict in the show. In fact, she is just out of rehab and relapses almost immediately. And we get to get a little background in the show of Rue, the character being played by Zendaya. And her character does play a drug addict that has just come out of rehab but is looking to score and does start to do drugs right away. And she eventually starts a relationship with a trans girl who transitions at a young age by the name of Jules. And I'm going to give you guys an overview. I wouldn't watch a single episode of this show, but what I did was look at different reviews and recaps from a bunch of different people and read up on it so that I can hopefully give you an understanding. Just the first 8 episodes, I'm going to talk a little bit about what this show kind of pushes. Mind you, these are high schoolers. The storyline of the show are a bunch of high schoolers. Just to give you an idea, one of the climaxes of the first season is Cassie Howard one of the most popular, if not the most popular actress on the show, outside of Zendaya, of course, is, guess what? Pregnant by a guy who is out of high school, and she decides to end that pregnancy by murdering the baby. And so that's just one aspect of the show. There's a whole nother aspect where this trans person who Zendaya ends up hooking up with, who is really played by a female in real life, but according to the show is transitioning, also has a hookup scene where she finds an older man on Grindr, which if you guys don't know what that is a gay pickup app for people to find other gay people to hook up with. And she finds an older man who records sleeping with this trans person. And that guy who sleeps with her ends up being the dad of the main male character in the show. I mean, guys, there are so many storylines in this, and all of them repugnant. There's a young girl who realizes she can make a bunch of money by selling herself on the internet, doing sexual exploits. And she does that and makes a bunch of money and sleeps with random guys all over the place. There, Rue in the show, Rue Bennett, is a drug addict and is involved deeply with drug dealers and so forth. In the next season, ends up becoming a drug dealer. All of these things are going on. And I want to read what Common Sense Media, because I think I've given you guys enough to know there's no bloodbath believer on this planet that should be watching this show for entertainment. I'm sorry. You should not be within 100 feet of this thing. I felt dirty just watching reviews about it without actually watching the scenes. I just listened to people talk about it, and it's disgusting. But this is Common Sense Media, so you guys can know what they say about the show. Parents need to know that Euphoria is a drama series about a teen girl who's working through addiction along with the usual challenges of adolescence. It features lots of boundary-pushing content related to sex, drugs, and sexual violence. Girls are violated in many ways, including being leered at, groped, and touched without their permission. Boys wonder if they're blank and share their images on social media slut pages. Standard episode content includes things like a boy choking a girl during sex, drug dealers trying to extract sexual payment for drugs. Nudity is frequent. We see nudity in both sexual context and non-sexual. We also see many blank pics and older characters having sex or coming onto underage teens. Characters' early trauma is explored and how it affects their present-day issues. Girls are often depicted as abused and boys as abusers. Though some characters do have redemptive arcs, there's not a lot of kindness or thoughtfulness on display. One character is an addict. Many scenes depict her smoking, drinking, taking pills, or snorting pills or white powders. Cursing is very frequent. Expect F, S, P, A, B, S, B, I, T, C, H, and D, I, C, K. While it's a show about teens, the extremely mature content is most appropriate for adult viewers. No, it's not, by the way. All of the content is amped up in the second season, which includes Rue's continuing relapses, sexual violence, assault, and frequent nudity. Sam Levinson, who has put together this debaucherous, disgusting display of what is supposed to be a high school drama. Just absolutely horrible. This isn't his only project, by the way. He also recently came out with a show with Johnny Depp's daughter called Idol, with same gratuitous violence, sexual violence, and just a disgusting. I mean, this guy, I honestly just believe this dude's a pervert. I guess the best way I could describe it. And while talking about the show, he said that parents will, quote, be totally blanking freaked out. Yeah, I think that parents should be if their kids decide to do that. And in all honesty, I have no idea why a family household would ever have HBO subscribed to anyways. But nonetheless, if you do, I'm not condemning you, but I say take a long look about that. But I say all this, guys, because as we're going through this, as we're talking about these disgusting displays, it never just ends there. If you notice, it never just ends with, let's just continue to have gratuitous sexual violence. Let's continue to push the envelope on trans and all of this stuff. And let's have popular high school students helping us push this or being played as such. But they also typically will have an angry diatribe against God. They'll figure out a way to sneak it in. And what they will typically do is not have somebody who can give you a valid answer. So, of course, it didn't take long for me to look and find a clip online of course, a blasphemy that's not answered. In fact, in this scene, a man by the name of Ali leaves a meeting where he has gotten sober, supposedly, because he is converted to Islam and found his higher power. And he is talking to Rue Bennett about finding this higher power. And in this very scene, and we're going to do a little bit of a chalk talk so we can understand an apologetic for expressing the truth here. But as we do, I want you to think about this, because they're going to talk about this higher power. And it's a warning that I give with people that get really, really deeply involved in NA, CA, or AA, that a lot of times there is a blockade of a true relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that people haven't come to Christ because in AA they found something and then eventually came to Christ. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that if God is just simply a higher power and God is not the one true God who sent his son to die for your sins, then you're going to be having some real problems. And so they go through a few different things to try to find this higher power for her. She talks about how a Mack truck is bigger than her. She talks about how the ocean is bigger than her. And she even talks about how Otis Redding, the artist, might be even bigger than her, someone bigger than her, because the music that he makes is far bigger than her. But then Ali tries to bring God into the equation. And she tells him before he even starts that, I don't believe in God.
I would say any song by Otis Redding is of greater power than me.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. It does.
What?
The impact that Try a Little Tenderness had on the world is more than I could ever do.
Well,
it's more than probably any of us will ever do.
All right, all right, all right. Little smart. Okay, that's not going to cut it.
Ali, I don't believe in God.
Guess what? God doesn't give a if you believe in him. He believes in you.
I don't know. That sounds good, but it doesn't really mean anything.
Of course it means something. If God didn't believe in you, you wouldn't even still be breathing.
So you're saying the reason my dad died is because God didn't believe in him?
Now, let's stop it right there for a second, because I think this all comes down to a worldview, not just a worldview issue, but a biblical worldview, this idea of just a God, this idea of just a higher power and so forth. We really, really, really need to understand that these things all come down to there actually being an answer. But we do need to recognize that we can weep with those who weep, that people are that are truly struggling with maybe losing a loved one, losing someone they care about. Sometimes, as it says in Proverbs, if you scream blessings early in the morning, they'll be taken as curses. Sometimes the right thing at the wrong time and in the wrong way can be the wrong thing to say. So we want to recognize that as well. And so as we look at this and as we listen to the argument against God, because that's what this is, this show, I believe, not only is to push a worldview that is nihilistic, that is to not actually give hope as you might think that it gives, but honestly, it gives no hope at all, the entire show. And so what we want to do is answer it biblically. So when she comes forth and said, I guess, when he says, well, God believes in you, and she says, I don't believe in God, and she says, well, are you saying that God didn't believe in my dad and that's why he's dead? That's where we're going to start. I want you to listen to that and think about that, because we do need to have good answers for people's curious questions.
So you're saying the reason my dad died is because God didn't believe in him?
That's not what I was saying.
There's nothing that makes me angry in that argument.
Hey, that's not what I was saying.
You know, because every time someone survives like mass shooting or some terrible earthquake, they always say, you know, I survived for a reason. God saved me for a reason. I have a purpose. And then I think to myself, like, okay, well, what you're saying is that your life is more important than that six-year-old who died that day, or the newborn who died that day, or anybody else who died that day. Your life has a purpose, right? Well, why does your life have a purpose and my dad's doesn't? Because I could argue that my dad's purpose was to raise me and my sister. To be there for my mom. That was his purpose, I think.
Okay, so now let's go about answering this dilemma. Because her argument is that when somebody dies, if they died, if God is real, therefore, I guess God didn't have a purpose for them. So because she's saying there's really no purpose in this life, there's really no God, ultimately, this is all just, hey, this is all just mere happenstance, so to speak. And the problem is with that is, one, we need to recognize, and if you are dealing with someone who has lost their father, you need to recognize the emotional toll that that may take on a person. Because the truth is that we know that death does hurt. It's not something that it just, it's squashing a bug, it's no big deal. We know that death hurts. And I believe the reason we know that death hurts, we recognize it, we see it, because that is not God's plan. God's plan is not for death to reign over us. The truth is that Jesus Christ rose from the grave and he reigns over death. He controls, he has the keys to death and to Hades. And he is the one who has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he knows what happens after we die. And to say all that is to not just simply stop there, but also recognize that death has come into the world. The truth is, a biblical worldview leads you to believe that, guess what? When sin came into the world, death came with it. And so there are ramifications that happen. And also we have to recognize choices that are made by ourselves that affect things. You see, even in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 7, verse 17, Solomon says, "You fool, why shall you die before your time?" There are people that not only end their own life, but there are people that make decisions that end up ending their own life, whether that's choosing to eat certain foods or drink certain alcohol or do certain drugs and so forth that affect when you pass away, or that put themselves in dangerous situations. People decide this all the time. In fact, recently, 5 different people passed away because they decided they would take a risk, and the person building a submarine to go see the Titanic decided he would not use the proper utensils, he would not use the proper tools, he would not use the proper people to bring people down there safely, and people made a decision to say, "I'm still going to do that, and it's going to affect." Now, there are also things that you're affected by other people. When someone robs a bank, when someone holds you up, or whatever may happen, when sin comes in that way, people are affected, and you can die because of decisions made by other people. There are also things that are not your decision. There are also things that happen, whether they're earthquakes or whether they are disease and things that have come into the world. And I'm not talking about disease that happens because wicked people are involved, but disease and cancer and so forth that has come into the world when death came in. It's not something that makes me say there's no God. It's something that makes me hate sin all the more. So when I see childhood cancer, when I see someone with, you know, some terrible sickness or disease or something that's come in, all that does and all that should do for us is make us hate sin all the more, and also make us recognize that one day death will actually be swallowed up in victory. That one day, because Jesus Christ reigns and he rules, that will actually take place. It doesn't mean that someone doesn't have a purpose, but it also means that we don't live in a clown world. We don't live in a cartoon world. There are ramifications because there is a such thing as gravity. There is a such thing as different forces that God has created this world in, that you have, there is an effect to what is being caused. When you cause something, there is a net effect. And so we recognize this by decisions that are made, and also even by decisions that are made, not by ourselves, by other people. But the truth is there's no hope outside of Christ. There's no hope outside of God actually intervening and being involved in this world. And we can come alongside people, and that's the truth, is we're not dope dealers like they have in this show. We're hope dealers. And we get to deal out hope because we have the only fixed hope, the one who is Jesus Christ, the one who ruled and reigned over death, the one who says he will swallow up death in victory, the one who says there will be no more tears, there will be no more dying, there will be no more pain one day. All of these things that we see, this net effect of sin that has gone out into the world, we know that God is redeeming us, that God is redeeming this world, that he's going to make it all new. And this show, and many others like it, offer no hope for that. They simply offer a process that may be able to drug you down enough to deal with the issues of life. And it just simply makes you comatose to the world around you so that you can't find the one true God. And I encourage you today, if you don't know God, this is the time to turn to him. If you have not put your full trust into Christ and his finished work on the cross, today should be the day. Turn to him now before it's too late. It says in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, that God is not slow concerning putting an end to all this, putting an end to death and cancer and all of this. He is not slow concerning his promise to return to us and to gather us. But he's patient, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. But the big issue here, God is not just coming and to deal out retribution to the rapist. He's not just coming to deal out retribution to the thief or whatever it may be. He's coming to deal out retribution to anyone who looked at the sacrifice of his son and said, it is not important to me. It doesn't matter to me. Or maybe later I'll find out that if it's true or not. But he has set aside the sacrifice that was given on their behalf. And now guess what? He says that he is waiting. He is waiting in patience for that last person to come to repentance. So I praise God for that. And I ask you guys to turn. And if you guys are in Christ, guys, turn off this filth. Don't watch this junk. And don't let your kids or don't let your friends or don't let your neighbors get caught up watching Disney stars and letting them turn all of this stuff into a diatribe against God. But turn to him. Don't sit in the seat of mockers, but meditate on God's word day and night, and you will be like the tree planted firmly against the water. This has been Chad Davidson. This is the 5:11 News.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.